Hallelujah. I am encouraged when I hear testimonies. Amen. Are you? Hallelujah. You know, I don't know actually how many I pray for every year, but it's at least 10,000 people pray for laying off hands. And of course, I don't know any big part of that, what God is doing. So when I come back to places where I've been, there are lots of testimonies, and I'm so encouraged. It gives me the fire of going for the rest of my life. So to hear you guys tell the stories of what God is doing when we pray for you is so encouraging. And that is what it's really good about, because this service is about to encourage you to lift your eyes to Jesus and not have your expectations, oh, another meeting, yeah. That was nice, okay. But you know, Jesus Christ himself is here. That makes the whole difference. Do not just think about it in a traditional way. Well, it used to be like this, and well, come on now, I'm hungry, I had to put some cattle on. And no, spend this time now with Jesus. If you have a need, he can heal you where you're sitting. I'm not an important person. He is. And he is here. And where he is, where the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. Amen? We have to lift our imagination and expectation to him. Not on your own kind of tradition. Well, I've not seen any miracles, so probably it cannot be done. Skip that thought. That's a stronghold in your mind. I can spend 4 hours telling you stories what God is doing, but let's create new stories instead. Amen? We are called to follow Jesus. You didn't know that, but we are. You know, we all have some kind of examples to follow. Some, especially the younger generation, they have like pop idols or whatever. There are so many shows on television today, extreme and whatever. No, oh, and we see these stars and we look for them, we stand in admire them, and they are film stars. Oh, wow. And you look in your mirror and you don't see the same in the mirror. And something is creating a problem also, because you want to look like that star. And you don't know that maybe that star have bought her or his body. They made so many things to that body to look like that. And you shall not admire a person like that. We should have good examples. Yes, we all need that. And all of us should be good examples to each other. That's a challenge. We as parents, we should be good examples to our children. Not only what we say with our mouth, but what we are doing. Can you hear the silence? Yeah, that should be a major aim in there. Yeah, but that's the core of Christianity, that we don't only speak, but we are acting like we are speaking. So we can have the best example, that is Jesus. He says, follow me. So you and I shall follow him. In Matthew 4 and 19, it says, follow me and I will make you fisher of men. Well, girls, it's not about to fish men. Don't misunderstand that. We shall fish people. Okay? All right? Yeah? We are called to reach out with the gospel. And when we follow Jesus, there is something of a major change in our lives. How are we acting? Look at Jesus. Jesus always sees the individual. There's a place in the in John or chapter, it doesn't matter, when he comes to the dwell and there's one woman, Galilean woman, Samaritan woman, that Jewish men do not speak with that woman. The rest of his disciples, they went into town. They were hungry. We need food. But Jesus stayed there because he wanted to reach to that woman. He saw the individual. That woman became the first evangelist because Jesus touched her so deeply. Explained everything in her life because he had the word of revelation about her life. So she went into that village and told the people, proclaimed the gospel, I met, maybe he is Messiah. Come and listen to him. And the whole city came out there. And here comes the disciples, maybe with hamburgers or whatever. I don't know. Hey, but Jesus, what happened? Well, it's only revival. And they were astonished. They let their hunger be the most important thing. But Jesus just spoke right into this woman's life. And there was revival. He can be our good example. In John 13, verse 15, he is an example in another way. He's serving his own disciples by washing their feet. And for some of the disciples, that was a hard thing, especially Peter. Because that was something that the lowest servant in the house would do, to clean the feet of the people because they were dirty, because they were walking out on the streets. And during that time, it was not clean asphalt. It was not like that we have today. It was dirty. It was stuff that should not be there. And they were not sitting at tables during that time. They were laying down at tables. So if you have your feet, they were in the nose of your friend. So they cleansed your feet. But Peter is, oh no, Jesus, you shall not do this. But Jesus says, if you don't allow me to cleanse you, you cannot be my disciple. And then Peter went over to the other ditch. Oh, oh Lord, don't cleanse all of my feet. Cleanse all of me. That is Peter. But Jesus said, no. I only need to clean you what have become dirty from this world. And this is something that we need today also. And Jesus says in verse 15, I have given you an example that you shall follow. So there is something here that we are obligated to do. That's why we have church. We shall help people to get connected with the living God. That's what we are doing. That's why we have church. We come before the Lord. We are good examples. We show them the way to connect with God. And we can be purified from the dirt from this world. We can be put righteous again. When we confess our sins, He take it and cleanse us with the power of His blood. And that is our calling to do this. In 1 Peter, there's another way to be an example. There Peter says that sometimes we can also suffer in this world even when we do good things. And it says in verse 21, second chapter, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So again and again, there is something in the example of Jesus that you and I can follow, and we shall follow. Even it says in the Philippians 2 and verse 5 that we can have the same attitude in our hearts, like Jesus. He is living in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory for those that do not believe. You are walking around with the hope of glory. You didn't know that this morning, but you do. You have the hope of glory, Jesus Christ in you. You have a treasure here. When you looked in the mirror this morning, you didn't think like that. You girls probably try to fix some things, and we guys, like that. But we have the hope of glory on the inside. And that means when we are among people, there's someone in us, the Holy Spirit, reaching out to other people. We can spread the gospel just by being there. If we have the antennas up, beep, 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 beep. We can be a blessing to other people. I never thought like that. Well, it's time for you to think like that, because Jesus is our example, and he always reach out. He see the need with other people and reaching out to fill it. I'm aiming at a level of exampleship and discipleship that you maybe have not been thinking. But what Jesus did while he was walking here, we are supposed to do today, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the way how he can be the same today is through you and me, the Holy Spirit in us. We can be the hands of Jesus. We can be the feet of Jesus. Go out to people. Matthew 28 and verse 18 to 20. The mission commandment is not a mission suggestion. It's a commandment. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Therefore, go. Stretch out. Go out to the people. Make disciples. We try to stand in our churches. Oh Lord, send revival. Go to them there. Oh Jesus, go to the sick people out there. We have misunderstood. We try to send Jesus out where he wants to send us out. Lord Jesus, go there. We commanding him to go. It's crazy. It's time for us to wake up. Start to do what he has called us to do. Amen? Oh, but I never done like anything like that. Well, we do new things every time. And one time is the first time is always new. And we are afraid to be embarrassed. We are afraid to blush and whatever. But if you have made a mess of yourself a couple of times, I say like Ben, no worries. Chat. Well, hallelujah. We will not be embarrassed. You can say we take a risk, because we put ourselves in a situation where we reach out in our faith, trusting the Lord. So that is a risk. It's like walking on water a little bit. But Jesus is waiting for this. When we are acting in faith, doing something new, because we know there is a commandment, there is a promise in the Bible, and we do this. Hey, it's working. I mean, in Matthew 14 and 22, Peter is walking on water. You remember that story? Jesus, if it's you out there in the water, ask me to come. Jesus says one word, come. So actually Peter, a fisherman, he knows everything is impossible. But he lifts his feet above the edge of the boat, looking at Jesus and actually walking on water. That story is not about the bad faith of Peter. Maybe you have heard sermons like that. No. Peter was the only one I know about that have actually walked on water. What about the other crowd sitting in the boat? Oh, Peter. No, he was walking on water because he looked at Jesus until he was, what am I doing? He changed his focus on the water, waves coming up. No, this cannot be done. And he started to sink. Help! And Jesus there immediately. He took his hand. He did not pull him under the water. No, he helped him up on the surface, on the water, and walked back together with him. Amen? Wherever your situation is, Jesus wants to go together with you to do the supernatural. Amen? He's not punishing you, keep you underwater, that you're almost drowning. Oh, you tried this? No, you cannot do it. He wants us to do it. He wants to challenge us to see the supernatural dimension of life. Amen? Are you not sure? Well, he speaks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. They are all, 9 gifts are supernatural. You cannot force those fruits to come in your life. It's coming if you allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. It's not your gift, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22. We all try to produce it. Love. Patience. Oh, give it to me, Lord. We try. We cannot produce it ourselves. It's fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? How can we get it? By living with the Holy Spirit. Abide in me, Jesus says. He is the tree. We are the branches. Bob, branches, yes. We are the branches in the tree. So if we remain in that tree, the fruit will come. If we have patience with ourselves and others. We belong to the same tree. The fruit will come. You are spoiled in California. You can have fruits all year round. Yeah? And you're surprised. Well, can I not have fresh fruit? What's up here now? You can have strawberries all the year. We come from Sweden, my wife and I. Oh, we come to summer in November in California. Took a bath in Pacific Ocean last Sunday. Wonderful. Summer, yeah? And we have fresh strawberries. It's a miracle for us. Wow. But when it comes to this supernatural way of lifestyle, Jesus wants us to see it's possible for us today to do what Jesus did. John 14:12 says, whatever I have done, Jesus says, all the miracles I've done, you shall do also. And even greater than this you shall do, because I will go to my Father. Do that blow your mind? When I was newly saved, 12 and a half year old, 50 years ago, that word stood out from the rest of the text. I underlined, I overlined, I made circles around that scripture, and that has become a word for my life. And I started to long for that. Jesus has said it. And faith is actually to believe that what he said is the truth. Now I'm speaking above the heads of you. Or do you understand what I'm saying? Faith is to take the scripture from God and act as like he really means what he says. That is faith. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, not seen. So I hope you are not that kind of person who says, well, if I see a miracle, then I believe. Well, if you see it, you don't have to use any faith. Faith is to see it before it happens. It's quiet here. I want to encourage you to lift your eyes from your circumstances and lift your eyes to Jesus like Peter. Because he has a purpose for us today. California or Sweden, it doesn't matter. Wherever we are, to do the deeds of him. The attitude of today in the world is very selfish. I, me, and myself. Give me, give me, give me. In the morning, we have prayer time. Oh, and we have a long list. Oh, good morning, Lord. Today, Lord, I want you to give me this, that, and two of those. And please, change that person and that. Amen. My friend, that is not prayer. That is having God in a box. And we lift the box and we speak to God and do this. That. Amen. God cannot be treated like that. Primarily, we come to God to exalt him, to worship him for who he is. We worship Jesus for what he did. He gave us eternal life. He took away the sins. He took our sicknesses and pains on the cross. By his stripes, we are healed. Yes. Hallelujah. It's powerful. When I just read a scripture, I come back to again and again in Matthew 4, verse 23-24, describes the life of Jesus. You can identify, because this is what Jesus wants us to do. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. How can I say that this is what Jesus wants us to do? Because the scripture I said before, whatever I've done, you shall do also. He gives his disciples authority to heal all kind of sickness. Matthew 10:1 and verse 7 and 8. Freely you have received, freely you can give. Luke 10 and verse 1, is 70 more disciples have the same authority. Well, it doesn't say in the first verse there that they had power over demonic powers. But when they come back after they've been sent out, they are all exalted. Oh, Lord, even the demons obey us when we pray in your name. And Jesus says, I have given you authority. He used in the Greek word exousia. That means delegated authority. Delegated authority, what is that? It's like a policeman here in Temecula. He can stop the traffic. But let's see, this policeman wake up and go to work and forgot to bring his uniform. He's still a policeman, but his authority was in the uniform. So he go up, try to stop the traffic again. How many minutes will he survive? I don't know. But his authority is gone. You and I, we don't need any uniform. It's in the spiritual realm. We are known in the spiritual realm because Jesus delegated his exousia over us. And he says, I give you power over all the power of Satan. So Satan is not a problem. Well, he has some power. Dynamis says, dynamis is power, yeah. But he has no right to steal and destroy from you if you do not allow him to do that. Oh, how can I stop him? I tell you, you can stop him. James 4 and 7. Submit to God and resist Satan, and he shall flee from you. The authority comes by submitting to God. Then you can stand against Satan, and he shall flee from you. So he knocks your door, Satan, and you open. Okay, who are you?
I'm Satan.
What do you want?
I want to steal and destroy your life.
Okay, welcome. No. No, we cannot act like that. But traditionally we have done that because we don't think that we cannot identify that we have authority over him. But whenever he knocks your door, please, my friend, you see who it is.
I want to come in and steal and destroy.
No way, Jose. I kick you out. And you shut the door. Do not allow him to come and steal and destroy your life. We have the authority to stop him. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of things Jesus wants us to start doing. We are getting spiritually overfed, if you understand what I mean. Oh, pastor, give me something more. Give me something new today. Ooh, I want more. Yeah, but start doing what you have learned. Well, not this week. Give me something new. I think God requires obedience from us. That we start doing something. But that's scary. Yeah, in one way. But if you hold your eyes on Jesus, the water will hold you up. You can do the impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are so many examples. Mark 2, Mark 5, Mark 10. I'm thinking about three examples of meetings. Full of people, but only one person in each are healed. Mark 2, the four friends that bring the paralyzed friend to the house meeting is full. It's jammed of people, so they cannot come in. But they are wild Jewish people that bring him up on the roof, take away the thing, the structure, and fetch four ropes and pull in, take him down just before the feet of Jesus. He is the only one in that crowded house that are healed. Mark 5 is a full street in Capernaum. The woman with the issue of blood, she is not allowed to be there. She's unclean. She had a flood of blood for 12 years. If she sat down on the bench, that bench was unclean. She was recognized unclean. She could not be in the social life. So probably, I use my fantasy here. I don't have a word on that. But probably she covered herself, that no one recognized her. But she had heard about Jesus. what did she hear? That everyone was healed. And she was saying to herself, if I just can go and touch the hem of the garment, I will be healed. So she comes in the crowd, the small streets of Capernaum, not bigger than this. It's difficult to go there. But Jesus comes there and the disciples. And suddenly he stops. Why? Someone touched me. Who touched me? Peter. Jesus. Everyone touched you. It's difficult to go without touching. But it was not that kind of touch. It was a touch of faith. No, Jesus. Someone touched me with faith because I felt how power went out from me. I've been in situations where people have grabbed me without me planning to do that. They just coming and taking me. Oh, I just want to have your anointing. And they are healed. Demons have left. So when we have Jesus on the inside, we can be involved in doing the deeds of Jesus. Wouldn't that be exciting? I want you to raise up from a dull Christian life. Okay, it was okay meeting. Let's have some fun today. I don't know anything better than to do what Jesus wants me to do. I don't know if I said it on Friday that I was in Chelyabinsk, the same place where this meteorite fall into Russia. The same day I was there, the same place. I just didn't come as fast as the meteorite. But that weekend, 120 people were saved and hundreds of people were healed. Because suddenly people woke up with a thought, maybe I'm not as secure as I think. They were shaken by this thing falling from heaven. Not one single person was killed. 1,000 people had to have help from doctors because all the glass that was broken, it made scars in their bodies. But so many people were saved and healed. And I felt, wow, what a blessing to be a Christian. Hallelujah. Let's show some pictures. The man to the left is Boris. He had a heart disease that the doctors could not help him with. We prayed, and a few months later, he was totally healed. Now he's one of the leaders in the church in Rostov. The other guy, well, yeah, he has a tie. Yes, next picture. Can you see this child? He has eczema. This is November 23 or 26. I don't see it really. It says on that sign. I think it's 26. Last year. And he had eczema all over his body. 3 days later, November 29, he has total new skin over his whole body, totally healed and restored. Lives in Vancouver, Washington. We will go there after Thanksgiving again, have more meetings. That child didn't have faith. His parents had. And we that prayed for him had. God was moving. Hallelujah. Next picture. This man is from Tanzania, Africa. He's newly taken picture. I met him last October, not this October, but October before I was there. And on Sunday meeting, I preached, and then I heard the Holy Spirit said, there's someone here that have an issue in bone structure. You have had accident. And you need a miracle. So you're lacking bone structure. And this man came, he had his arm in a big package. I didn't know what had happened, and I didn't ask. I just prayed for him. I called upon bone structure to come. So then I had Bible school the week following, and this man was a student in the Bible school. And in the end of the week, he came to me and said, "Can I make a testimony?" "Sure." And he tells the story. He's an evangelist. He went to a village preaching the gospel. They kicked him out. The witch doctors in that village kicked him out. "We don't want your Jesus. We don't want you here. Do not come back, because then we will make something evil to you." But this man, he was a wild young evangelist. He went back to the village. And they cursed him. And you know, when it comes to curses and demonic powers, it's a real thing. You have to understand, it's not just on a video game. It's not a computer game. You see some images of demons. Demons are real. But you and I, we have authority over them. There's nothing exciting with demons. The only thing you have to know is to kick them out. Satan tries to steal and destroy and to kill today also. And he said, "They cursed a hyena to follow me and bite me." I don't know if you know how a hyena is, but it's really demonic, actually. I take a lot of photos, but I don't want to take photos of that animal. It's awful. A stinking, demonic animal. So I wasn't surprised that they cursed that kind of animal. But the grip and the bite of that animal is stronger than a lion. And he bit this man over the arm and crushed the bone structure, two ribs here, and destroyed the muscles and the nerves. So the hand was dead. The doctor could not fix the bone structure. There was nothing to fix. There was nothing to connect. It was just small pieces. The only thing they could do was to cleanse it from the poison. And they said, "Probably we have to amputate your arm." So we prayed on Sunday. He could not feel anything. But on Thursday, he made this testimony and said, "Well," he said, "today, this morning, I can do it like this." Oh, so that was not so big a deal? No, it was impossible. It was really a big deal. God have connected, created new two ribs of bone structure, connected the muscles, connected the nerves. He had feeling in his fingers. Today he is preaching. He has started a church. And he has learned to trust the Lord even more. Hallelujah. Amen. Next picture. Well, it's hard to see. But you can see a little girl is hugging me. You see that? It's a miracle. No, not that the girl hugged me, but well, it happens now and then. Well, my wife tells me that I have at least two special anointings: children and old women. I don't know in between the ages there, but anyhow, this girl I met a few months earlier, she was totally blind. And we prayed for her, didn't see any result. Also prayed for her mother. She was not a believer. I didn't know what to pray, so I prayed in tongues. She heard me pray in perfect Slovak. And God spoke to her, "Now I will set you free from all the bondage you have had since childhood." She had gone through incest and difficulties like that. And she was totally set free from all the bondage. And she received Jesus as a Savior. A few months later, I came back to the same city in Slovakia. And this girl jumping up in my arms. She had reading glasses, 1.5. But she sees clearly, perfectly. Hallelujah. And that underlines healing is very often a process. When we come to prayer line, oh, Lord, we want it now. We order a miracle. We cannot order a miracle. God is planning miracles, and when miracle comes, it comes immediately. And of course, we want that. But the most common way healing comes is a process of healing, little by little, little by little. Sometimes it takes a few months, like in this case. Sometimes it comes immediately. Her father, after this, I prayed also for the mother again. I spoke in Slovak, and she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then the father came. He was a Christian also. And he said, now you have to pray for me also. I don't really know how you call it. I saw something like a funnel chest or a trumpet chest, where the chest bone is going inwards, pressing upon his lungs. So he had never been involved in any kind of exercise or gymnastics. And for a short few seconds, I thought, well, Lord, can you do this? Yes, of course you can. So we spoke to this very, very, you know, the breastbone is not easy to change. It's actually impossible. But not for God. He is the creator. So we just commanded the chest bone to be lifted out. Didn't see any result when we prayed. But since I go back there very often, I came back and he comes running. Per, look here, he said. God had lifted out his chest bone. Total normal now. And he had started to exercise. He is so happy. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Okay, I think we have, yeah. It's the same legs, but not the same, because it was 4 inches shorter on the upper picture. A few moments later, God had prolonged that leg 4 inches. Next picture. Indian man. The day before this picture, he had a big cancer tumor on his throat. Doctor said, you maybe survive 1 week, but we cannot help you. But he heard the rumors about some crazy Christians that prayed for sick people and they were healed. So he find his way out to this Bible school where I was teaching. And he just knock on the door and come in. When we have concluded the message for today in Bible school, can anyone help me? Otherwise I will die. Well, I cannot heal you, but Jesus can, I said. And I told the students, now you help me to pray for him. And I put my hands upon this big tumor, big as my fist. And while we were praying, it was just sinking down, disappeared. I was all wet in my hand. That's okay. This is the day after. He is totally healed. And he knows Jesus. Hallelujah. Next picture. My new mother. She wanted to adopt me. This is in Sochi, in the southern part of Russia, Armenian woman, 108 years old, and healed. You will never be too old to get healed. 108 is okay. All sickness just went away from her. I just love that. When she died, she was healthy. Hallelujah. Yes, next. I think this is the last one. Just to describe that people in Europe are hungry for Jesus. We came to this square, had a square meetings, and hundreds of people were waiting for us to start. I had a prayer line for 6 hours. 6 hours out on the street. People were healed, saved, delivered. God wants to help people today. My message today is that you will have expectations that Jesus is the same still. Amen? I will try to stop now. I can tell you so many stories. But let's create some new stories. We will have a little bit time, also this service, to pray for you if you cannot come tonight. Tonight, I don't think we have any limits of time. Anyhow, I plan to stay as long as anyone need me tonight. When is the meeting tonight? Good. You listen sometimes, yes? Come with expectations and bring sick people. How do I dare to say that? Because I have a great God. Hallelujah. I cannot heal a fly, and I don't want to. But Jesus wants to heal every single one. When I started to pray for people 38 years ago, I didn't see so many with heart disease or cancer growth or tumors getting healed, very seldom. But now we see it always, always. People that cannot have children because of different reasons, sometimes because of their lives in drugs, they have destroyed their bodies. And doctors, it's totally impossible. Just in Russia, I have at least 30 examples when we have prayed for people. Now they have children. I love children. We have 5 wonderful children, 7 grandchildren in our family, and hallelujah. It's such a blessing. So if that is your need, maybe the doctors have said it's impossible for you. Oh, well, I love to pray for that. In our church in Sweden, we had 4 women that have miscarriages several times. They came and wanted prayer. I told them, okay, next time you're pregnant, tell me. And then we pray for protection over you and the baby all the way. If we just meet on Sundays, we pray on Sundays. And all 4 of them now have children. It's a fight sometimes. But it is worth to take that fight. Believe me. And it's time for you and me to lift our eyes from circumstances to Jesus. First, this service. I want to ask you, if you are here and you have not received Jesus as your personal Savior, this is a perfect place to get saved. Anyone? You can just reach your hand. I start to ask that in the middle of churches, you know. Because in Russia, they bring unsaved people to church. That's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah, I will not put you on pressure, but it's an excellent idea. Bring them to church. We want them here. We want to reach out to the unsaved. Sometimes God is pulling them to the church. We will finish this meeting. Feel free to go if you have to. But if you need healing, please come. And we probably cannot take all the time as I want to. But no matter, I will pray for you. And you're welcome tonight also. God bless you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the crowd here. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, come upon them. Put them into action in their faith. Pray for the protection by your blood over their lives. Let them have greater expectation that you will, you are going to do miracles here in Temecula, here in this church. You are going to use the believers of this place. We thank you, Lord. Now I thank you, Lord, that you will touch the people that will come here. Amen.